you will find your seats, we'll continue this morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Yeah, good, yeah. All right, there it is. There's some caffeine kicking in a little bit, right? It's the allergy season. It's kind of that, you know, it's 30 degrees one day, it's 60 degrees the next season. It rains in the morning, it's sunny in the afternoon, and the wind blows all the time. Right, tis the season for sickness. I know RJ's not feeling well this morning, and so he actually married Kevin yesterday and Stephanie, and he barely made it. He barely made it. He did a fantastic job with that service, and I was like going to say something at the end, and I was like, Jody, where's your husband? He's like, he's gone. He went home. He was sick. So we need to be praying for RJ. Because he's not feeling well this morning. I've got a story actually I want to start with. There's a story that's been told, and actually it was told by a gentleman by the name of Paul Harvey. Who knows Paul Harvey? And now you know the rest of the story. Good day, right? That was Paul Harvey. For those of you that don't know who Paul Harvey is, it's because you grew up on an iPhone. And we grew up with this crazy thing that collected FM transmissions out of the air called a radio. And we had them in our trucks and in our homes. And Paul Harvey was a news commentator. And he told this story. He said four boys came late one day to school, and They were kind of walked into class, and the teacher noticed that they walked in, and so they walk in very solemnly, and they were very late. And they come up to the teacher and said, "We're so sorry, but we had a flat tire, and we couldn't make it this morning." And so the teacher said, "Well, that's a shame because you guys missed a test." And so these four boys are like, "Well, we didn't mean to. We'd like to make it up. It was circumstances outside of our control." So the teacher said, "Okay, you need a pen, you need a paper, and you need to go into each of the four corners of the room. Don't look at each other. Don't talk to each other. And here's the question. Which tire was it?" We anticipate things where we're kind of concerned about people's integrity, yes? We anticipate things where we're kind of concerned about people's integrity. Integrity is a thing that's actually, most people recognize the need for integrity. We recognize in cultures, in most religions of the world, most people will recognize that there's a standard out there that allows us to interact together and really maintain this state of interaction. The Bible actually teaches quite often about integrity. If you actually go through the Proverbs, there's lots of great Proverbs about maintaining this state of integrity. Proverbs 10:9 says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out." Parents, note that one and teach that one to your kids, right? Your ways are going to be found out, right? If you believe in unlimited quality, actually Frank, I think it's Perdue, I think is his name. He said, "If you believe in unlimited quality and act in all your business dealings with total integrity, the rest will take care of itself." Frank Perdue was actually the CEO of what became the largest chicken manufacturer in the United States. We recognize this need for integrity even inside business and the way we conduct our lives, right? We must have a system by which when I interact with someone, what I'm going to receive is the truth. What I'm going to receive is they're going to extend a word to me. Yes, I will be there Friday at 2 o'clock. And the crazy thing is, folks that are there Friday at 2 o'clock, man, good job. It's the students that come in late to class that have all kinds of excuses on why they didn't make it. And hey, there may be valid ones amongst there, but sometimes walking in integrity it's difficult for us and against our human nature. The basic human nature is really kind of to justify ourselves. Yes? Oops. Yes, it was never my fault. Look, I'm sorry, but. Do we use that sentence a lot? I am sorry, but. Right? The Bible actually doesn't teach, I'm sorry, but. The Bible doesn't teach, I'm sorry, but. The Bible actually teaches, hey, I'm sorry. I apologize. Will you forgive me? Ooh, that puts you out there in a vulnerable position, does it not? I'm sorry, but allows me to defend myself. The tire was flat. There's extenuating circumstances. My kids, just went bananas, and so I couldn't get to church on time. I'm sorry, but. Right? And this is a very Western culture type thing that's developing amongst us. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what the Bible teaches on integrity this morning. I looked for a definition of integrity. There was actually two that came up. The first one here is, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. Moral uprightness. Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. Strong moral principles. We may kind of waver a little bit on what those moral principles are across cultures and stuff, but we understand that there's this baseline that is we need to stick to a principle set that's out there. There's a principle set that's out there. We raise our children this way, and so we try to strive to reach this bar, right? Where's the bar set? Well, if you don't know Jesus, the bar is set simply at what man can do. Are you impressed with our moral principles as people on our own? Right? I get a little disturbed by watching some of the moral decisions we make. But without Jesus, we actually have to set the bar based upon human understanding. And with Christ, we actually can set the bar on God's understanding. The creator of the universe's understanding, on the way that he would design for us, on perfection itself. Number two, this is the second definition, the state of being whole or undivided. Now I'm going to talk to the young people. How many of you have multiple social media profiles? Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Who has multiple Twitter accounts? I do. I'm guilty, all right? I'm sorry for people that really resonated with the tape deck earlier. Hang with me, okay? But, sometimes we think that there's multiple ways that I can engage. And so I'll be the nerd right now. If you look, I've got a business Twitter profile. And so my wife is like, I don't understand exactly half the stuff you put on there. Because you're talking about computers, and it's like, Charlie Brown's teacher. Right? And then I've got another one that's my personal Twitter account and stuff, and so I post my pictures, right, and I get to follow maybe preachers that I like and things like that. And so, but it's this kind of dual thing, right? And so I've got one world and the other. What God actually is teaching us is to say, you actually need an undivided life. There is one life. There is one life, and we are called to live a life that is undivided. It's not work and life, work and church, work and something else. It is simply life. And God calls us to live the life, the single life that he has designed for us. It's the one life that God has called us to live by. This is a very different approach than what we see in a lot of culture today. Many times we're seeing a lot of folks live a dual life, right? I have a very good friend, I work in business with him, and so sharp, very sharp guy, and he's an accountant, worked with him for many years. He's always dressed very clean, very quiet guy. Long sleeves, even if it's 110 degrees here in Texas, he's got the long sleeve button-down shirts, and he's got the tie on and stuff, and I'm like, this guy's kind of just like, he's got it put together, He's just real clean, very simple kind of individual, and so One Friday, we had one of these, hey, let's get together for lunch, with the office folks and see what, and everybody comes out and hangs out for a while. And so we all came out and hung out. And all of a sudden, a motorcycle, a really nice Harley Davidson, pulls into the parking lot. This guy gets off, takes his helmet off, and I mean, he is all in, right? That dude is wearing more leather than most cows, right? He is all in, and he's got chains hanging off him and stuff. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's Danny the accountant. He's got tattoos going up and down his arms and stuff, and he's got the leather rolling and stuff. And he's a cheater, though, because he's got those. It's not a piercing. It's magnets, right? He's got the little magnets rolling up and down his ears. I'm like, that is not there. You didn't hit yourself with a stapler on Thursday at the office and made those holes, right? So, but he comes rolling in, and he's like, man, I love riding on the weekends. This is my deal. There's a crew I go, and we start on Saturday mornings early, and we take off and stuff, and I'm like, coolest thing ever, but I'm like, dude, you are blowing my mind in that I never would have anticipated that from Danny. And then he shows up Monday morning, just straight laced, got the tie on, got the long sleeves on again. It's like, morning, David. And I'm like, who are you? Right? But it's just Danny. It's just Danny. Jesus talks a lot about maintaining this system of integrity that many of us really need to or recognize. And so we're going to turn real quick to Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. When in doubt, go to where Jesus preaches. Amen? When in doubt, go to where Jesus preaches. And so this is the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is giving. And so he gives lots of fantastic principles to live by. And he's really turning some things up and on its heels inside the culture today, or in Jesus' day. And there's fantastic things that we can extract from Jesus' sermon. By the way, if you think RJ and I are long-winded, you got to read through some of Jesus' stuff, all right? Okay, so take it easy, all right? But we're going to read something about what Jesus talks about with maintaining the system of integrity, all right? We'll pick it up in verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Yes or no? Yes or no? Can you be there? Yes. Can I ask for a commitment from you to be at work at 8 and stay till 5, Monday through Friday? Yes. Can I rely on you to bring bring something for the PTA meeting on Tuesday night at 6:30. Yes. You know what the other acceptable answer is in all those? No. No. One of the problems that I've seen in culture, especially in the United States today, is that in many cases, we actually like to commit first. Yes, 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 it's okay. Yes, yes, include me. Yes, yes. And then so many people, do you know these people? Right? Do you know these people? I know these people. Sometimes in the office, I'll sit there and some people will respond immediately. Hey, there's an email that goes out. Can you help with sometimes we set up these events and they're like, hey, can you come help with this event? And I see one person in particular. God bless her little heart. But when she responds, I'm like, nope. Yes, I'll be there. And I'm like, no, you won't. And so sometimes the people that don't know her as well in the team, I find it very difficult because they're like, well, this particular person signed up to do A, B, C, and D. And I'm like, you need another person for A, B, C, and D. Right? And it's very difficult. I find it's kind of a difficult situation. So sometimes the appropriate answer is no. Are we overcommitted sometimes? Is our schedule a little hard to manage sometimes? Are we overextended sometimes with our commitments? Yes, but, right? And what is Jesus simply telling us to do? Yes and no. You know, no matter how rich or how successful you are across the world, across all time and space, you know what the one thing is you cannot manufacture? Time. Everyone in every class of society gets 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. Weeks turn the same. The earth turns the same. The years turn the same. But sometimes when you get older, it feels like it goes quicker. Amen? Right? You're like, holy cow, my kids are growing up fast. My hair is falling out fast. Right? But really, we all are in the same boat together. I want to read for you this scripture again, but I want to read it from the Message this time. Listen to the Message interpretation of verses 33 through 37. And don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our traditions. You only make things worse when you lay down a smoke screen of pious talk, saying, I'll pray for you. And never doing it. Or saying, God be with you, and not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes untrue. Just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. That was pretty powerful stuff. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but mine will go in there. Have you ever been asked to pray for someone or said, I will pray for you, and didn't? Have you been asked these questions? It hurts, right? In Jesus' day, what's very interesting about what's happening is that in the Old Testament, the Bible continues this teaching that Jesus is talking about. Leviticus 19:12 says, you shall not swear falsely by my name, so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Numbers 30 in verse 2 says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with an obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all the proceeds of this out of his mouth. God's premise in the Old Testament is that if you should make a vow, you stick to it. When you make a promise, you stick to it. And you've got to see it through. It's not a conditional-based promise. You need to see it through. What's interesting is that in Jesus' day, many of the religious leaders set up a system of laws that said how binding an oath really is. Well, if you swear by the gold in the temple, that's really bad. But if you're not really looking at the temple and you say, by God, I swear I will go in and do what you have commanded me to do, that's not as bad. And so it's this judgment on sin. And Jesus is turning this economy completely upside down and saying, look, you don't swear by God. You don't swear the Lord's name. Do you remember a time in radio when they used to not take the Lord's name in vain? Right? We miss those good old days of radio and TV where they would not take the Lord's name in vain in public settings. You cannot leave the TV on for more than 10 minutes in prime time without hearing the Lord's name taken in vain. God is not so much concerned about you going, OMG, 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 about saying, look, you cannot swear falsely. You adding a bunch of words actually diminishes your name. If you let your yes be yes and your no be no, that speaks volumes. volumes more than you trying to color it up by taking my name in vain, by swearing on your mother's grave, by doing all those crazy things that we sometimes as a society tend to do. Because why? Typically because we have been found guilty of not maintaining a system of integrity. Typically because our parents bust us and we don't quite tell the whole truth, surprisingly, parents the next time around are a little bit more leery of what's going on. Because sometimes in business and when we interact with the world, when we see people not follow through on their promises to us, then we kind of got a little bit of caution, hesitation. Church, that's good. And that is a very good thing. But church, for us and for our walk, it should not be so. It should not be so. We should be those that are called to say yes and no, and folks can count on it. That is a fantastic witness to this world. Amen? So there's three things that I think that are very interesting here as we look at what does the Bible teach us about integrity. Number one, it actually begins with Jesus. It all begins with Jesus. Here's the great news, is we serve a God of incredible integrity. He makes a promise and he keeps it every time. No questions asked. He is a faithful God. He is a good dad. And that is where we start, is knowing that we have been redeemed by a fantastic God who loves us so very much. That he puts forth promises of blessing and of life, and that we can take those to the bank. And though sometimes the world can struggle and toil, we can start with Jesus and know that he is going to see us through. That his burdens are easy and his burdens are light, right? It's a difficult thing for us sometimes to understand. Church, you are not going to be perfect. Let me let you off the hook. You're not always going to have the yes, no, and nail it every time, right? And so your walk, what's going to be different about our walk and as Jesus walked on this earth is, our walk, when we don't own up to yes and no, is we should not be a church that responds with, I'm sorry, but. We should be a church that responds with, I apologize. Will you forgive me? I apologize. Will you forgive me? And that's what Jesus calls us to do. It's not by our perfection. It's by his perfection. It's by his righteousness, not us. Number two, our integrity is revealed by our words. Man, there are some people when they talk, it's like, hey, how you doing today? And it just sounds like World War III started, right? They're just, miserable. Anytime they make a vow or a promise, they're miserable. They just don't like it, right? And it's out of this abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. It's out of where our heart is where our words land. That's what the Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Out of an abundance of the heart, my mouth speaks. And so if my heart is feeling overwhelmed, you know what my words are going to reflect? Being overwhelmed. If I'm feeling a lot of joy, then my words will reflect a lot of joy. If my heart is set on Christ and knowing that he is on my side, my words will reflect Christ knowing he is on my side. And so it's out of this abundance that we speak, and so our words count. Your words are the first step, or step one in maintaining a life of integrity. But here it comes. You ready? Number three, our integrity is demonstrated by our actions. When we say yes, we put action behind it. When we say no, we put action behind it. I'm actually involved with a lot of salespeople. Those people have like sometimes a reputation that's like right below politician, right? Right? these poor politicians, but sometimes these poor salespeople too, right? Because you're selling me something. You're just trying to make money. You're just trying to make money. And I know some really good salespeople, and the way they get through that, because they typically get a lot of, I'm going to approach you with a little bit of caution, is they let their yes be yes, their no be no. They follow up on everything they say they're going to do. And they end up being very trusted and very well received by a lot of organizations. Look, don't we want that out of our politicians today? Yes? Don't we want their yes to be yes and no to be no? I have watched all the debates. I have never seen anyone just answer a question with yes. Right? Or no. It is a long-winded, long way around. And by the time they're done, I'm like, I have no idea where you stand on that issue. Because you talk completely around it. And it's concerning, right? This ought not to be the case. So I can't control the politicians, but I can control my tongue. I can't control my life. I can demonstrate that. I can ask for that and look for that in the things around me. I can be a fantastic employee to my boss, and that will be a fantastic witness for Jesus when they say, "Can you get the job done?" Yes, I can. "Can you get the job done?" No, I can't. "Love you." No. Later. Right? As someone who's been involved in a lot of projects, that is a very acceptable answer, but let me know these things. So here we go. Five pieces of practical advice to build up your integrity. You ready? I'm going to try to give these to everybody who's running for the president. I'll email them later. We'll see what happens, okay? We'll see what happens. Number one, you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be honest with yourself. Right? Jesus teaches this often. He's kind of telling us, look, you got to be ruthlessly honest with yourself. Before you go demanding to get the speck out of your neighbor's eye, why don't you pull that log jam out of yours? Right? Where do you struggle? I don't have any struggles. Yours is pride. Write it down. You're going to forget it. You're prideful, right? But we all have our struggles. What are yours? Where do you need prayer? Where do you need help? Where do you need folks to come alongside you? We have to be ruthlessly honest with ourselves, right? Not brutal to ourselves. I'm a terrible individual. God doesn't want that. But God does want you to be able to say, I need help in these areas, and I need people to come alongside me to help me along. Number two, you have to seek wise counsel. Wise counsel. There is a myriad of people that will give you all types of information. Thank you, World Wide Web, right? Information comes at us everywhere. And as I was even doing some research and looking through some things online preparing for this sermon, I've got five steps for integrity sermon that you can download for free and seven steps for... And I'm just like, okay, slow down. And then, you know, the internet is now this kind of invasive thing where it's like, ooh, look what he searched for. Let's go give him a bunch of ads based on that. And I'm like, slow down. I don't need all this. I need wise counsel. Now, who are the wise counselors in your life? Names. Who are wise counselors in your life that you would trust? People that you could go to so when you have questions about raising a family, they'll help you. People you can go to when you got questions at school, they can help you. People you can go to so that when you've got questions about business, they will help you and they will give you wise counsel. You know how you identify those wise counselors, by the way? I'll give you a hint. Typically, their yes is yes and their no is no. And people that do that for you and that sit in a position that may be a step above you, look to them. That's a great place to start. Number three, decide to honor God, not please people. People pleaser schedules are stupid. If you're a people pleaser, your schedule is at the command of everyone else. When you decide to please the Lord, when you decide to honor God, you put that schedule in the Lord's hands. You put the schedule back in the Lord's hands. I want to honor the Lord. By the way, honoring God really comes down to worshiping Him and loving others. So I promise you He's going to do some things where you're not just sitting there, hey, David, can you help us with the project? No, no, no. You know, right? We need to get some yeses in there, right? Yes, I can commit to this. Yes, I can commit to this. No, I cannot commit to that. No, I cannot commit to that. We must honor the Lord in everything we do. I'm praying that we actually look like different folks in the workplace. Not because we're wearing the cool Christian t-shirt, but because we're dealing with good Christian ethics and integrity. And that is what our politicians, our workplace, and our families, and our schools all need. Amen? That's right. All right. Number four, be appropriately transparent. Okay, you got to be appropriate here, right? This is probably not the forum where we're going to do like, all right, let's all confess some sin right here, right? And let's really get deep. But where do you do that? Where can you, in a safe place, identify where you can confess sin? Where can you confess sin? If you do not confess your sins, you're taking a burden that Jesus is sitting there going, I died for that. Please give that to me. The way you release that is to confess your sins. Confess them. He who is faithful and just will forgive of all our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But we must confess. There's power when you say, I messed up. That's where the power is. Many times in religious circles, we think that the power is in our holiness. How many times I don't make a mistake, how I live my life, how I dress. And the real power God gives us is when we say, I made mistakes. Because when you get that out of the way, that frees God to enter your life and come in and make you a new creation. That's where the rubber meets the road. It's different, isn't it? It's crazy. I love it. It's awesome. Number five, set your priorities on the important things. What are the three most important things in your life? What are the three most important things in your life? Right? And you're thinking, kind of when I first looked at this, and it's like, well, money, free time, wealth, right? I wanted to almost give you what the priorities should be, but they're going to look a little different for each of us, right? I will say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then He's probably number uno. And if you keep Him there, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 fall into place. But make the most important thing the most important thing. And then here's something that's crazy. As you identify the important things, here's a little anecdote that someone taught me one time was, now, look at your schedule this week. Tell me where your three most important things are falling into your schedule. What things are in your schedule that may not need to be there because they're not the important things? In the lack of planning, we fall victim to other people's agenda. When we plan, we put the first things first that we determine. My boss used to say, proper prior planning prevents poor performance. How many P's was that? 6? Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. 6! Sorry, I was not the accountant. Right? It's the 6 P's. Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. We actually need to be proactive in how we walk with the Lord. God's walk doesn't just happen. Sometimes we need to prepare for it, right? We need to understand when we're going to get time with the Lord. We need to understand when we're going to come together to corporately worship together. We're going to make these things a priority because these are the things that are eternal, right? Band, why don't y'all come on up? Can y'all sing Your Love Never Changes? Can y'all do that? Did I say that right? Your Love Never Fails. Yeah, that one. Sorry. We keep saying that song, that line, and I'm like, I like that line. Let's sing that. There's a couple things, I just want to leave you with this as the band comes up, is as I went through this, my concern with teaching about something along these lines is it almost can feel legalistic. This is what you've got to do. The Bible calls you to do 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that, you know, do those things, right? And it, there's an element of we've got to do things, right? But it can come off as very legalistic. Before any of this stuff with regards to integrity comes up, here's where I pray that you start as an individual. Is the God who came to earth said in the very beginning that redemption will come, that throughout the Old Testament would say, I am going to send the Redeemer. I am going to send the one who is going to save all people, that he fulfilled his promise, that he became a promise fulfiller, and that Jesus, as he came, spoke some amazing things. And one of the most amazing things in my mind that he spoke is the fact that I am coming back to set things right. Until that point, there's going to be some turmoil. It's going to be tough. People are going to tell you yes, and they're not going to do it. People are going to tell you no, and they're not going to do it. People, you're going to struggle on your own accord. But Jesus is ultimately the one that will set things straight. And knowing that all of this, that every knee bows to Jesus as he sits on the throne, that needs to be the thing that pushes us forward as we interact in these situations that we run into in our life. It's because we've experienced the redemption of Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we give you great thanks for just being a good God, Lord, that we can trust, that we can love, Lord God. Lord, your love doesn't fail. Your love does not fail, Lord God. So, Father, I just pray that that would strengthen us this morning. I pray that, Lord God, that would be what propels us, Lord God, to go be light to a very dark world. Father, we pray for our nation. Lord God, would you return and restore to us the joy of knowing you as Lord and Savior, you alone. Lord, will you bless those that are in politics, Lord God, that rule in government over us. Lord, will you bring integrity to those men and those women. Father, will you bring integrity to the business offices that we all go to, the workplaces that we attend? Father, will you bring integrity into our homes so that all of us can say, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. Father, will you continue to build integrity into our schools so that our young people will be raised in a place that is safe and that it reflects the love of Jesus? Lord, the world tries to eliminate you, but God, your love never fails. And it's not going to do, it hasn't before, it never will in the future. Bless us this morning. Go with us, we pray. Lord, just give us a lot of joy. In Jesus' name.